Ben Schuss. Ben Schuss, Rav Shachter Shmita. In the name of the Anhola of the Shir, the Misadim of the Shir, I'd like to welcome all of you to come to participate in this magnificent simcha. And it's a magnificent simcha for a number of reasons. First of all, it's a siyum on a masechta that we've been learning for 3 years, and that itself calls for a tremendous celebration. In addition, it marks the 25th anniversary of this year. A little bit hard to believe, but that's what it is. 25 years since this year started. And for me personally, it has special significance, because tonight is my mother's yard site. And just a word about that. My mother grew up in a home which was really a base vav l'chachamim. She got to meet the likes of Rav Meir Shapiro, the love of a rav, in her house. They stayed in my grandfather's house. Shlomo's father, the Kedushas Tzion, stayed in my grandfather's house. There were many other Gedolim from Eastern Europe, from literally 100 years ago, that my mother knew. And before the age of Gedolim biographies and Gedolim pictures, she was able to relate first-hand stories from these Gedolim Torah. And I just thought it was very appropriate. We now bask in the light of one of the Gedolim Torah from our generation, and the fact that her yard site coincides, there's no such thing as a coincidence, but it does coincide with the seeing we have tonight, for me, is very meaningful. Let's go back 25 years ago. Benji and I were sitting at a table at a chasana of a mutual friend. I did not know him at the time, but we struck up a conversation. And he said to me, "What do you think of the idea of bringing Rav Shechter to Flatbush to say this year?" And I said, "That's phenomenal. I'm all for it. Let's go for it." In my mind, I thought, I don't know how this is going to get off the ground. I couldn't see how it would be possible. And maybe a few weeks later, maybe a few months later, he gives me a call and he says, "We're doing it." I said, "What are we doing?" He said, "We are going to have a shir, and a chef is going to be the magid shir, and it's going to be in Flatbush." I was so besimcha, I couldn't contain myself. But at the same time, my point is that whatever he does, he says, "We are doing it." When really, I literally had nothing to do with the beginning of the shir. But he's always meshatif others, and he never takes any credit for himself. When really it's he who's behind the scenes, and I think he deserves special recognition for that. So, let's have a round of applause. I'm going to leave all the other thank yous to him. I just knew this was one that he wouldn't bring up. So I think it's very important for us to recognize that. I also want to wish him Mazel Tov. Yesterday was the bris of his grandson, in Eretz Yisrael, missed because he wanted to be here. So that's also a very big sacrifice on behalf of this year. Mazel Tov. And without further ado. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. A few months ago, we learned the Mishnah Nun Haman base, where the Mishnah says, although the Kohanim were divided amongst in 24 Mishmaris, And every week a different Mishmah did the Avodah, and after 24 weeks, the same Mishmah came back again to the Avodah. And every Mishmah was divided into six Batayavas, Sunday through Friday, and then Shabbos, most of the people went home. So all of the Batayavas, all of the Kohanim who stayed behind, were Mishamish Din HaKrovas HaKarbonis on Shabbos. I think we must have discussed it when we learned the Mishnah in the Hamid base. And according to the Rambam, this is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs of Torah, that HaKrovas HaKarbonis should be done in the Beis HaMikdash in an organized fashion, according to Mishmaris. That's not that the Chacham decided that you shouldn't kill each other. It's going to be a Hefker. The Rambam thinks that it's a Mitzvah in the Torah. The Rambam tainers in the Sefer Mitzvah, tainers against the Rambam. How can you say that it's a Dimin at Torah? If the Gemara says that in different generations there were not 24 Mishmaris, originally there were hardly any Mishmaris. Later, the Rayonim, you had listed off over 24 Mishmaris. That's the beginning of Vaisheni. At the end of the Vaisvishim, you had originally you didn't have. So the answer is the Rambam holds that it should, the number 24 Mishmaris, that's not the Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Karbonis should be carried by Kohanim in a systematic fashion, in an organized fashion. So that's all year long, you have the 24 Mishmaris. But on Shalosh Regalim, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that all the Kohanim share equally. And on the side of the Gemara, the margin, on Daf Nun Hem Beis, on the Mishnah, Shlosh Brach Mashana Haikala Mishmaris Shabbos, so they put in brackets there to look in Moed Kot and Yudzayin on Beis. Moed Kot is a Machlokes HaTanoim. What's the nature of this din? Is it that all the Mishmaris, all the 24 Mishmaris, it's their Mishmar and Shalosh Regalim? It's their Mishmar? No. The Mishmar is once every 24 weeks. But all the Kohanim have a right to be Makor Kavanis, but it's not called their Mishmar. The Mayan Afkamina, just semantics, whether you say it is their Mishmar, or it's not their Mishmar, but they have a right to be Makor Kavanis. So the Gemara says, there is a Machlokes HaTanoim regarding the Din Derabbanan. There is a Din that the Kohanim, the Anshe Mishmar, their week, they're not allowed to take the haircut during their week, kedei, to make sure that kedei shalai konsel mishmartam minuvalam. They should, the same reason why you're not allowed to take your haircut on a halamite, kedei shalai konsel regal minuval, so you're not allowed to take your haircut during your mishma. The Chacham wanted to encourage all the Kohanim, they should be clean shaven or whatever, they should look decent, they should be neat and well groomed before the mishma begins. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. What's the word? On Shalosh Regalim, it's everybody's Mishmar, so no one's allowed to take a haircut then? All the Kohanim happen to be there, no one's allowed to take a haircut? No. Basically, it's not that Mishmar. It's Chalamayit, it's Yantim, it's Chalamayit. You're not allowed to take a haircut because it's Chalamayit. But it's not because of their Mishmar. Lamai Nafkimin, you can't take a haircut anyway. Either because it's your Mishmar or because it's Chalamayit. So the Gemara says, no, the Nafkimin, the Mishnah says in Elam Megalchen, one is not allowed to take a haircut unless there's an ayin is the mucha, unless everybody knows what my circumstances are and everybody knows what the story is. So the Mishnah has habom mevlina sayam. A person was on a boat and was traveling for months and months and months, and there's no barber available on the boat. Or ayotzim beis asur, he was in prison, and they let him go free in the middle of halamoid, and there is no barber in the prison. So the Mishnah in Elam Galchan says whenever a person has an einus that all the people in the neighborhood are familiar with, it's an einus de muchach, everybody understands why he wasn't able to take a haircut before. He was a chadash and Israqi, he was in the hospital, he was Yetzim de Shamsurim, or he was a bomim dina sayan, or let's say he was an avelus before. Or he was a Kayan, and his Mishmah just ended in the middle of Yantav. So everybody knows, during his Mishmah he couldn't take a haircut. So whenever there's an Anis de Mukhaf, then in Tam Chalamoid, you are allowed to take a haircut. So that's a Machloikas Tatanayim there in my Kot New Zion on the base. What's the din? You say, all the Mishmaris, all the Kohanim, when it comes Yantav, when it comes Chalamoid Yantav, it's their Mishmah, so no one's allowed to take a haircut, period. Or no? They all have this chus to be makar with the karbonas, but it's not really their mishma. So they're not allowed to take a haircut because it's chalamayit, but if they'll have an ayin is the mukha, then it'll be mutar. So that was the machlokes hatanoim. Here the Mishnah continues with that theme. The Mishnah said, the previous Mishnah, the Nehemiah, they said, all of the Kohanim, all the Mishmaris share equally in the Korbanos that they bring, they Muri Harigolim. The Korbanos that are brought because it's Yom Tov. Of the Chizuk Lechem Hapanim, they all share equally. What about people bringing the Ndorim and the Ndovas on Chalamoy? So the Ndorim and the Ndovas, they don't share equally. Only the Kohanim that is their Nishma. Or let's say the community brings, the Gemara has, the Tzibur has to bring a Par Halam Dovashol Tzibur. That has nothing to do with the fact that it's Yom Tov, the fact that it's Chalamoy, that you can bring any time you want. So if they happen to bring the Par Halam Dovashol Tzibur, on Kalamai, so only the Anshe Mishmar Makrabit. The other 23 Mishmaris have no right to share in that. Or if they bring a Kaitan, any other Korbanistan, they're not boim. Machmas Aregol just happens to be born on Kalamai, so the other 23 Mishmaris do not share. So now the Mishnah continues with that theme on Nunagava Merala. What if you have Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos? Beimil Faneha Beimil Acharela. So the Gemara explains, let's say you have Pesach, Sukkot, Yom Tov that goes for 7 days, for 8 days. So the Yom Tov begins on Matzoi Shabbos, all of the Mishmaris begin and end on Shabbos. The Mishmaris switch, the Mishmaris on Mishalfas on Shabbos. The old Mishma does the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Musafim, and the new Mishma does the Talmud Shal Bein Habayim. That's what the Gemara quotes of Brice on the top of Nun Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishmaris on the Skalfas on Shabbos. So any Kohanim who were there in Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash, they left over at Shabbos, most of the Kohanim went home. So all the Bati Rabbis, the six Bati Rabbis, could share equally on Shabbos. But whoever stayed behind on Shabbos, how's it happen? Let's say, if a Yom Tov, all the Kohanim come to the Beis Hamikdash. So let's say this Kohen's Mishmar is in another 2 months. It's not now at all. But he came because it's Yom Tov. And all the Kohanim share equally on Yom Tov. And he had the Brera, he had to come for Shabbos also, because Shabbos is right next to Yom Tov. Either Yom Tov is Mamash HaMatzoi Shabbos, or Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos. So it's not Shaykh that he can't go home for Shabbos. So since he's stuck there for Shabbos, even though it's not his Mishmar, so the Mishnah says they share equally Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos Beimel for that Beimel Akrel, where the Yom Tov begins on Matzoi Shabbos or Shabbos as Matzoi Yom Tov, the end of Yom Tov. Again, how you call them Mishmar Shabbos on those Shabbos, just like call them Mishmar Shabbos on Yom Tov, so call them Mishmar Shabbos on the Shabbos that's next to the Yom Tov. The Mishnah has, what about Cholios Yom Echad L'Hafsik Bintai? Really, all the people could have gone home. There was one day in between. Yom Tov is really on Monday, so they had a whole Matzoi Shabbos and Sunday to go home. Some people can't go home today. You can reach anywhere in the world within one day. You can take a plane and go home. But in the days of the Tarayim, wasn't Shabbos. But most of the Kohanim could have gone home. So whoever stays behind, if there's one day Mafsik Bintayim, so we give them a little bit. All the Kohanim really could have gone home, and that day that's Matzik in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, but decided this day for the extra Shabbos, but to come early, so then they get a little bit. They don't share equally. You don't say Kol HaMishmar Shabbos. So then it says, Nishmash is Manukavu, Hanatul Esachalas. There were 12 Lechem upon him. So the Anshe Mishmar, that it's their Shabbos, the two Mishmaris, every Shabbos, the leaving Mishmar, and the new, the entering, the Mishma HaNichnas and the Mishma HaYotzeh. So the Mishnah says later that from the 12 Lechem Aponim, we assume La'alocha that they divided 6 and 6. But if you have one day Mafsik in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, so some of the people stay behind, so 10 out of the 12 Lechem Aponim we give to the two Mishmaris who end and begin on Shabbos. And they divided 5 and 5. Instead, usually it's 6 and 6, but here it's 5 and 5. But Hamasakev and all of the other Kohanim from the other Mishmaris who came a day early or who stayed a day later, so they, all the other 23 Mishmaris, they divide amongst themselves 2 of the Lechem Aponim. B'shayim Mois Hashana, all year long, that the Shabbos is done next to Yom Tov. So then the Mishnah says the practice used to be there's a Mishma Nichnas and Mishma Yaitse, so they divided 6 and 6. The Mishma Yotzei took 6 lakma panim. The Mishma Nichnas took 6 lakma panim. Yehuda disagrees. All these Paran lived after the Churban HaBayit. So they're trying to reconstruct what was it like for Zman of Abiyud lived way after the Churban HaBayit. So he claims that the practice was they didn't divide every normal Shabbos 6 and 6. The Mishma Nichnas took 7. Mishma Yotzei took 5. Why? So the Gemara says because they had to work harder. They had to do, what does the Gemara say on the top of Amud Beis? Yitzchah HaGotas HaPlosis. They had to lock the gates, so there was more work. So they're entitled to 7 of the 12 Lechem HaPanim. And Ishmael Yotze only got 5 of the Lechem HaPanim. Okay. We don't assume like Rabbi Yehuda. We assume like the Chacham that on a normal Shabbos, we had the Mishma Yotze, Mishma Nichnas. So the 12 Lechem HaPanim were divided 6 and 6. Then the Mishnah also mentions that the Azara is divided right and left. Kohanim have to do Hakravas HaKravanas with the right hand. The Mishnah has in Zlachim that if a Kohen is a left-handed Kohen, so it's possible to do Avodah. Some Mishnahim say that he's considered a Balmum. Pashtun says that a lefty is not considered a Balmum. But it's he doesn't have a Yad Yamin. He has to have, the Yad Yamin has to be the stronger arm and has to be on the right side of the body. So he doesn't have a Yad Yamin. He ends up, so one Yad is a half Yamin, and the other Yad is a half Yamin. You have to have a full Yad Yamin. So the right side of the body is always considered more important than the left side of the body because our karbonis has to be done with the right hand. So the Mishnah said, so the Psukim and the Chumash say that Kochim, Shchitasim Hatzofim, the Kibbul Vamam Bechlushar is Batzofim. The Tzofim, the right hand side of the Azor, is more Mekudish than the left hand side of the Azor. So every Shabbos, they would divide the Lechem Baponim, 6 Lechem Baponim to the Mishma Hayotzi, 6 Lechem Baponim to the Mishma Hanichnas, and the Lechem Baponim had a din like a mincha, like Kochim, we have to eat it Dafke in the Azor. So where did the Kohanim eat it in the Azor? Which part of the Azor? So it says, the Mishma Hanichnas, they're just beginning their Avodah this week. They're going to do Avodah the whole week. So the Mishma HaNichnas, HaNichnas M'chokim itself, they would eat the Lechem HaPanim in the right hand side. And Azor HaYotzim, Bidor, and those who are leaving, their Mishma is over already, so they have the less important part of the Azor. You want to show Kavod to the Mishma HaNichnas, that they're going to be Makro Karbonis the whole week. And then the Mishnah says that from the 24 Mishmaris that are listed off in Divrei HaYamim, so one of them was called Bilgo. So Bilgo was punished for some reason or another. The Gemara is going to discuss what did that Mishma do that they deserve to be punished. Bilgo liolam chalekas bidorim. Even if they're the Mishma HaNichnas, we penalize them and we have them eat their 6 lechem haponim and the left hand side of the Azor. Then the Mishnah says, when the Easter Shech to Korbanus, you have to make sure the animal doesn't jump around. The animal is going to jump, the shechita is going to be in a velum. So how do you make sure it doesn't jump? So Rashi learns he used to have tabas on the ground, and he used to have the animal laying on its back. That's how they used to do shechita in Europe. They have the animal lay on its back, and you have a tabas to hold the neck in place so the animal can't jump around. So there were 24 mishmores. There were 24 tabos, one for each one of the mishmores. So the Tabas of Bilgo, they were punished by the Tanoim in the days of the Baisheni. So their Tabas was broken, it was locked, so they could never use their Tabas. So they had always Shnora by the other Mishmar. Now they asked permission from the others, we have to use your Tabas. That's a Rashi learned. The Tabas were on the floor, and they would have the animal lie on his back. The Rambam in the Pirush and Mishnah writes a little differently. He writes that the Tabas were hanging on the walls. And they would have the animals hanging and they would shift sideways. Now in America they have because of the Hebrew who are so concerned about the Tzad Bali Chaim. So they used to tumble so much years ago, so they insisted that the least painful way to do the shechita is to have the animal suspended in midair and you shift from the bottom up. Instead of shifting from the top down, you shift from the bottom up. So that was a big tumult whether that's permissible or not, because one of the chamish of hashchita is drasa. If you push down without fiddling back and forth, in order to shech the neck of the animal, you have to cut down. But if you just cut down by pressure, then it's an availer. You have to fiddle back and forth as you're cutting down. So we're afraid there's a concern if you're going to shech melamata melamayla, it could be the head. The weight of the neck of the animal is going to be laying down on, pressuring down on the knife, and it may cause it to be a drasa. So years ago, that was a hot tumult here in the United States, and Rav Soloveitchik encouraged all the rabbanim, with Rav Aaron Kotler and others, it should all go along with him, that it says b'feirish and the Rambam that it is kosher. That it is kosher. So it was a shas hatka, because the Congress was tumbling, they wanted to outlaw shechita and ganzen. Rav Soloveitchik said, we follow the Rambam, it says like that, you can do if it happens like that, if the animal placed pressure and the weight of the animal pushed down on the knife and the shechet wasn't fiddling back and forth, it will be in the vein. But you don't have to be concerned about that. If the shechet thinks that he has it under control, so then it's okay. So Rashi learns the tabas to hold the animal down was on the ground, and the Rama holds the tabas was on the wall. And then chaloina stum, each one of the 24 mishmaris of Kohanim had a special chalom. Rashi says, the bottom line in Rashi, should he gone to Misakinei? He used to put the chalofim there, the knives that they used to shech. The Rambam says they used to leave all the big dekuna there. Whatever it is, the Rambam, the Pirisham Shnai, whatever it was, each one of the 24 mishmaris had a chalofim. And they used their own sakinim and they used their own big dekuna. And the Bilga, the mishmar of Bilga, was penalized, and their chaloin was stuma, so they had a shnara by the others, they had to borrow some of them. So the more on the top of Amud Beis, on the third line of Amud Beis, the more called somewhere Abuda. The Bimu Stuffin. Every Shabbos you switch the mishmaris. The old mishmar finishes their avodah in the morning. Their makriv, the Bryce is going to say their makriv, the Tom Shal Shachar and the Musafin. And the Tom Shal Ben Abayim is korayed by the new mishmar. So we have psukim and chumash. The Kohanim who have the schus to do the hakrovas hakrabanis, they are entitled to get the or ha'oilo. So since the mishmar hayotzei, the old mishmar who was here all week, they did the hakrava of the Talmud Shal Shachar and hakrava of the Musafim, so they should be entitled to all of the Or HaOyla. The Musafim on Shabbos, there is no chatas, there's nothing to eat. And Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh, and Chol HaMoed, there's a chatas also. So the Besara chatas is Nechol to the Kohen, to the Zichri Kunin. But on Shabbos, it's Shnei Kvas, and Rishan Tmimim, you have two Oylas. So the only thing they can talk about getting a Chelikin is the Or HaOyla. So this Rabbi Yudah has a chiddush. The Gemara is going to reject it. The Or HaOyla of the Musafim is divided between the Mishma Hayotzeh and the Mishma Nechus. The Gemara finally says that it is a brisa that contradicts him. The Gemara says, Tiyufta, Rabbi Yudah, Tiyufta. It's not correct that since the old Mishma Hayotzeh, the ones that were doing the Hakrabas HaKabbanos the whole week, they're the ones who do the Hakrabah of the Tom Shal Shachar and the Musafim. So they're entitled to the Or HaOyla also. They don't divide it with the Mishma HaNichnas. And the Tamish of Bein Abayim, the Or HaOyla of Tamish Bein Abayim, that goes to the Mishma HaNichnas, because they do the Avoyla. That's how the Gemara comes to the Maskan. Then the Gemara has the last piece of the Gemara. It's famous by the end of the narrow lines. Tanur Rabbanan, what did the Mishma of Bilga do that they deserve to be penalized? So the Gemara says, one of the women from the Bnei HaMishpacha from Bilga converted to Abu Hazar. Maisa de Miriam Baz Bilga, she was from that Mishma. Shehenira Dosa, she converted to Abu Hazar. Behocha Benisa Sasaki Atechim and Malcha Yavanim. She intermarried, she married an Achim. Ukishimichnas to Hayavanim Lahechol, when they came in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know, to destroy it, but the makriv korbanos l'avodah zarah. Before the Chashmonaim came and cleaned everything out, there were Yevonim, there were Misyavnim, there were Jewish of the avodah zarah. There were Nochem Horov, Yevonim and Misyavnim, who were makriv korbanos l'avodah zarah. So she, at one of those occasions, she, Hoysam Belaethis, Isandala, Agabi HaMizbeach, she was mevazah the Mizbeach and complaining that the Mizbeach is like a wolf devours sheep. So the Mizbech eats up all the korbanos that the Jewish people bring. Why does she call it the wolf? Because that's what it says in the Chumash. She said, "Binyamin zev yitro, like a yechal had, erev yechalek shalom." So the Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst all the different shvatim. And there was chelto shel Binyamin and there's chelto shel Yehuda. So Yerushalayim, part of Yerushalayim was Chalko Shal Yehud, and part of Yerushalayim was Chalko Shal Binyan. So the Malchus is supposed to be the Chalko Shal Yosef Shevet Yehuda. The government is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. So the government offices are supposed to be in that section of Yerushalayim that belongs to Shevet Yehuda. And the Mizbeach that eats the Korbanos, that's supposed to be the Chalko Shal Binyan. It's a different Chal Hashem. If I own a jacket, and you own a jacket, so it's not that this is a Schefter jacket and this is a Weiss jacket. The jacket is the same jacket, just ownership is a relationship. That's what we had in Ochamas in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, says like that. But Chalukah is there to sell the Shvatim, that's a difference in the Chalushem of the Karka. This is labeled Chalkul Shal Yehuda, and that's labeled Chalkul Shal Binyamin. So the Psukim say, Binyamin Zay Yitro, the Chalkul Shal Binyamin will be the Mizbeach. Babaki Yochel Ad, in the morning they'll bring the Talmud Shal Shachar Erev Yechalek Shalom, they'll bring the Talmud Shal Ben Abay. So the Chumash refers to the Mizbeach as a Zayv that it consumes all the Mizbeach. She was calling it a Zayv, Lignai, she was complaining. Apparently she worshipped Avodah Zarah, they worshipped a lot of Avodah Zarah. So she believes in Elokei Yisrael also. So she's complaining, I must have a Mechalek Manash on Yisrael. She's complaining, what kind of a god are you? Apparently the other gods helped them out, and the Elokeisra didn't help them out. So because she converted and she married Anokim, she was Mevazel and Mizbeach, so the Gemara says, because Shama Chacham Medover, and the Chacham Mehold heard about the way this woman was from the Shevet of Kahuna, she was from this Mishmar of Bilgah, she was Mevazel and Mizbeach and so on. That's when they penalized the whole Mishmat. Kabul is Tabat, the Sassan is Alayna. That's when they punished them. Then the Gemara has another version. The Yesh Amrim, on the fourth white line, Yesh Amrim, another version has it, that Mishmarta Shoyha Lovoy, when it was their Shabbos, they were supposed to begin. Mishma Shal Bilgah was supposed to begin on Shabbos and do the Avodah for a whole week, so they didn't show up on time. So the Mishma that was there for the last week, the Nichnas Yeshev Avachim Imo Mishimish Tachta. Yeshev was the Mishma right before Bilgah. So they were supposed to finish on Shabbos morning, bring the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Musafim, and then the Mishma of Bilgah was supposed to take over and they didn't show up. So Yeshiva continued until finally these people show up from the Mishmar Bilgah. So because they demonstrated that they weren't so keen about the Hakrovas HaKabonis, so that's why the Chacham punished them. So the Gemara is bothered with the Kasha, the Shleimel among them, the Mishmar to show love. If they say the whole Mishmar didn't show up on time, then it makes sense. I mean, the Kasin, the Kula Mishmar, then we understand why we penalize the whole Mishmar. That they always eat their lechem upon him on the left side of the Azar, even if they're the Mishmah Nichnas, and we lock up their tabas, we never let them use their own tabas, they have to borrow someone else's, and they can never use their own chalom, they have to use someone else's. Hello, Mandelma, but according to the first version, that the story was there was one woman who became a Mishumedis, Miriam Basilvish and Miradosa, so Mishum brought it because there was one girl, because of the daughter, Kansinele Lidye. He penalized the whole Mishma because of one person, because she converted. She married a Nochri. So Abai says yes. And Kedabri Imshi, like the expression goes, people say, Shusa di Nuka Bishuka, the speech of the young child on the street. The children pick up expressions from their parents. So whatever the child says in the street, the young child must have heard it. Odi Abuah Odi, he either heard it from his father or heard it from his mother. So Miriam Bas Bilgah had this complaint against the Mizbeach, against the Elokei Yisrael, why he doesn't help the Jewish people. She must have heard it from her parents. Very big demand. Because of the parents also, Tatsinim Gula Mishmara, why do you penalize all Mishmas and penalize her parents? Mara says, yeah, that's the Pasuk Oyle Rasha Oyle Shechem. So that should really be the end of the Mesif, the Oyle Rasha Oyle Shechem. But we don't want to end with the Dover Ra, so they end it off. Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shechem Yishenemar, so they end off in the sifter with the dove. They end off the parak and they end off in the sifter with the dove tov. Do you have the other Gemara brachas?
Yeah. I have a sifter, sorry.
Uh-huh. His Gemara Sukkah doesn't have a hafa. Hadron Allah and Khalil Usnikala Masekha Sukkah. Hadron Allah Masekha Sukkah the Hadroch Alon. Dait Allah Masekha Sukkah the Daitroch Alon. But the Sashim Allah Masekha Sukkah, not the Sashim Alon, not the Alma Ben, not the Alma Dios. Hadron Allah Masekha Sukkah the Hadroch Alon. Dait Allah Masekha Sukkah the Daitroch Alon. Not the Sashim Allah Masekha Sukkah, but the Sashim Alon, not the Alma Ben, not the Alma Dios. Hadron Allah Masekha Sukkah the Hadroch Alon. Dait Allah Masekha Sukkah the Daitroch Alon. Lo yisnashim enach masech esuk ve lo yisnashim enam lo biyam hadain lo biyam lo biyas. Yiva tamul panecho ad meo lehein lo lehe avis heini shet tehit harosko ub nesene bo elam hazeh se yiman alo elam abo. Hanine ba popa rami ba popa nachna ma popa achoy ba popa abba mari ba popa rafam ba popa rochish ba popa sucha ba popa ada ba popa dor ba popa harib na ad meo lehein lo zibri sa rosko befinu. Uvi vipios amcha beis Yisrael b'niya kulon wa nachna vitzetzoreinu. That so I am a basis of the Lord of the Shnech of the Lom, they say, a second. Me oi weiss a chakmen in its a second to the Yom Hili, Hili be coming, Tommy Mukukech of the man for a glory of Osh, the Yom Lesha Piko Deho, he won't be his son if Ruka to a noil, and then Kukecho, Amen, 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 celebrate. But the Monarch of the Fanecho, and I will hang well, I will finish with Samta Hakan and the Yeshua based on Medrish, Samta Chaken in the Yeshvi Kuran of Shana Mashkin in the Hemashkin in Manam Mashkin in the Dibe, the Hemashkin in the Dvar Matelo. One of Mel the Hem and Bale, one of my Mel and the Captain of Scott, the Hem and Mel, the Hem and Captain of Scott. On the Rots and the Hem Rots, on the Rots and the Hem Rots, my brother Hem Rots and the Bear Shaka Shanema. I told him to read them the Bear Shaka Sanchi Dom and the Mim, while the Yachzi Mim, and he after Bach. He was humble for Nacho, and Noel Ahai, Kishem Shazar Tonu. The Simon Sech is Suka, Cain, Tazrain, or the Haskam, the Sirtus, and Swarm, Acherim, or the Simon Wilmo, the Lalame, Dishma, the Lassus, and the Kaimus, called Libitam, the Rasech of the Ahavo, with the Kus, Kola, Tanoim, the Hamaroim, Talmid, Hachamim, Yamadlonu, the Zareno, Shabbat, Thomas, Alturim, the Pino, the Pizareno, the Zeres, Arena, Adangom, Tiskayan, Bonu, Pis, Alechu, Hatan, Choisa, Pishaf, Hatishma, Alecha, the Hakim Sosa, he's the Echo. Kidi Yurbo Yamechov Yasipo Lukhoshan Shaim, Urch Yamid Bimina, the smell of Osha Zuchavod, Urch Yamid Bimina, Osha Zuchavod Bismilo, Arnayoz Lamayitena, Neva Rekhas, and Bova Shalom.
Cold ball for the rug. And who the rug is going to be cheering from Queens. long we have to hear on consolidation. And I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe the Lord would give a share in practice. So, that's what my colleague said. I think anybody would come. And I said, yeah, I think some people would come. The first year, I'll never forget the first year. It was supposed to be in a small base measure, but for some reason, that small base measure was filled with computers. They had some kind of computer there. So they put us in that corral in the big room. And I said, we're not really expecting that many people. Yes, it was all for the range of them because that day, we didn't even have a mic. We didn't have a mic for the first year. And the room was packed. And the rest is history. But Yeshua could not have happened in a vacuum. I just, you know, many of us here have been here for many, many years. We had a tragedy 2 years ago when our father, the real frontline, the final Baruch, was Mr. And Israel was really one of the backbones of the shir. He recorded all the shirim. He dispensed all of the tapes at that time. Just, you know, my kids don't even know what a tape is. But he dispensed all the tapes at the time. He brought the tapes to dial it up and to in Baruch. And Mandy Kramer did all of our communications at that time. So thank you. And Mandy, Baruch Hashem, has a family now who lives in Queens and is unable to attend regularly. So I'll tell you the truth. We had a very, very big void between Azriel, who lost, and Andy not being here. So, as you all know, one person took the arthritis to two people, and that's Henry Silverman. Henry not only switched us over to digital, but usually I am in Farakway. Usually, before I get home from Farakway, the Shia is in my inbox. I wish I was awake enough that night to listen to it, but usually when I walk into the house, usually about 11:15, it's already in my inbox. Every email that everybody gets over here is from Henry. Every piece of paper that you see on the table, whether it's a program or the Daftei Agamara, it's all Henry Silverman. And I think we should give Henry a big round of applause. So, for the record, this shiur wouldn't be the way it is today without Chaim. We were a team from day one. Chaim brings a little class to the shiur. And we appreciate everything that Chaim does. Every decision that's made is run through Chaim, and I want to give him a great shiur also. I remember when we started the shiur, our biggest problem was how we could get the rav to Brooklyn. My brother, Shlomo Krupp, is a fellow of Rafa, was then the placement person up at YU for the senior guys. So my brother said, we'll figure this one out. Anyway, so what he did was, at the first 2 years, the boys had a new shiur. So what greater shimush is there than spending 2 hours with a Baruch Hashem? So we had YU boys that were bringing the love back and forth, and believe me, it was probably the best shimush of anybody at YU. And then my brother left YU for bigger and better things, and we were stuck. We were stuck. And all of a sudden, we heard about this guy, Sasha Pekara, Rabbi Sasha Pekara. And Sasha could only speak English at the time. And Sasha also wanted to see much of her shepherd. So many of us know Sasha. But the truth is that Sasha hadn't stepped in when he did. We had a major problem. Sasha has been driving for many, many years. And please give a round of applause to Sasha. It's going to be nice having you around. Since then, Sasha has become very busy, so he can't do it every week. So since then, we have, Baruch Hashem, many people who have stepped up to the plate in order to bring the Rav and take the Rav home. I'm not going to mention everybody, because I don't want to miss anybody. But one person I will mention is Yitzchak Pekar. Who's Yitzchak? Yitzchak brings the Rav every time Sasha can't make it. And lately that's been a lot of times. And I want to thank Yitzchak also for really helping out and doing it with such anava and such kiva. And thank you very, very much, everybody. We're walking here on Monday night, and all the other drivers. Again, I don't want to name everybody because I don't want to miss anybody. We walk in here every night, every Monday night, to a beautiful shiur, to a Shulchan Aruch. We started many, many years ago, having tea and cake and all these things. I'm kind of taking it for granted. You know, it's great, our wives are not here, we can eat cake, it's not matter. But the truth of the matter is that we have to thank the angels of it. I don't know if everybody realizes what the Yom Yisrael does for us on a weekly basis. The tables are set up, the table in the back is set up, the water is boiled. David Hurst, for years, has been taking care of setting up, of making sure we have cake every week so we don't get grouchy. And everything, even nowadays, bringing out our sound system. And in Yom Yisrael has been giving us our tea, our sugar, our stirrers, our cups. It's everything coming from Yom Yisrael. Shuri Horowitz and that has been there every time we needed help. So I would like to thank the people from the Yom Yisrael, David Hurst, Shuri Horowitz, the president, Dave Stern, who's sitting over here. And in a minute we'll hear from the Martha Asher, who is the Torah personality and the person who really guides the Yom Yisrael Mikvah. But please, everybody, let's just give a Torah Santo to the people of the Yom Yisrael Mikvah. I'm going to leave the speeches to the others tonight. I got the last year. But it's really my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Shulman. I lived in Flatbush for many, many years before I moved a number of years ago. I was on the committee that helped find Rabbi Shulman. Rabbi Shulman, besides being a wonderful, wonderful Talmud Chacham, is just a wonderful, caring individual who's a modern startup around the world, both here and up at Yeshiva. And it's really an honor and a pleasure to introduce Rabbi Shulman.
First of all, I want to apologize in advance that after I finish speaking, I have to leave. I have a chasana that I have to go to. I'd love to say till the end, it's a chashuva occasion. Not so long ago, the Daf Yomi made him and Sefer Tiferes appear in the shul, and I spoke then about the Gemara at the end of Tiferes. The Gemara says that Rabban Rav Yosef, Rabban was like Yehoram, Rav Yosef was Sinai, and there was a debate, which is Odit, who should be the Rosh Yeshiva. And then the decision was that Sinai Odit, and therefore Agassiz became the Rosh Yeshiva. Then it was another story that Abaye and Rava and Rav Zera and Rabbi Bar Masna, they were trying to decide who among them should be the Reish Chabura. So they decided to have a test. Whoever could say something, so could say a Dvar Torah, a Chabura, that nobody else could slug up, nobody else would be able to be Mafrechit. So he'll be the Reish Chabura of the four, and Abaye was the one who won that particular competition. So the Mefarshim asked, two Gemaras back to back, one right after the other, and the Mefarshim asked, the second Gemara seems to contradict the first, if in fact Sinai Odit, that the Reish Shiva ought to be the Sinai and not the Yehorim, so he should have tested him in a test in Bikias, who knows more. Instead, they had a test, who could say the best Shiva Torah, that which Mechorah belonged to the realm of like Yehorim. So I said at the time, I want to be merciless, but I said at the time that the test, in fact, was a test in Bikias. Because after all, how do you test Bikias? You have these great chachamim. If each one had a test, each one's going to say everything that they know, they would be there forever. So what could be the test? How can we determine who's the greatest Baki? So the test was, if somebody could say something, that's Oizkehalt and all the Shas. That you couldn't find anywhere in Shas, not at the Shefta, not at Braisa, there's no Pircha to this Chiddush that he wants to say, then that's the sign that he must be Shalit in Kol HaDerekul, he must be Shalit in Shas. He knows that what he says is always to happen from everywhere. And therefore it was a test, in fact, it was a test in Sinai, not a test in Eichel. I think that's true as far as it goes, but I want to be nice or something. Because the truth is that the test was not merely a test in Bikias. And I don't think Sinai means merely Bikias. If Sinai meant Bikias, they should have said Bikias. Bikias is a word in the lexicon of Chazal. It's not a later word. Chazal had the word Bikias. So when the Gemara says Sinai Odom, she said Boki Bikias, or the Boki Odom. What is it? Who's Boki Bekulu Talmudah? So what's the word? If Sinai is something else, apparently, something more. Because the truth is, a person could be a Boki in all the Shas. You can know all the Shas by heart. It doesn't mean that if he says the Shikul Torah, there won't be somewhere a kasha on what he's saying. First of all, maybe a person might know Baal Peh from Shas from beginning to end, from Brachas Luxem. It doesn't mean that he could bring it all to bear on the particular point that he's saying now. He could say something now, and not for the moment. Not, you know, you'll ask him what he's saying, not Baal Peh, whatever, he'll know, but he doesn't necessarily bring it to bear on the thing that he wants to say at this moment. Moreover, even if he knows that, even if that Gemara is conscious of that Gemara, he may not realize all the implications of that Gemara. Maybe there's an implication that's not immediately obvious from that Gemara, from that Brisa, that it contradicts what he wants to say. The Rambam says in the Gemara Nebuchim that one of the reasons why the Chadrim sometimes contradict each other in the one book from one place to another, it's not that they forgot what they wrote earlier, it's that they don't realize all the implications of what they wrote earlier, and that in fact there's a hidden contradiction. So merely being a Boki doesn't mean that you'll be able to pass this test of being able to say something that's Oizkazen in Kol HaDerekul. Rather, in order to do that, in order to pass that test and to win that contest, what's necessary is not merely to know Kol HaDerekul, but that Kol HaDerekul should be Mesuder, be organized in his mind, is able to bring all that information to bear whenever he needs it. And it's a deep understanding, it's with the Havana and the Amkus, that he realizes all the implications of every Gemara. And that's really the meaning of Sinai. That's what this was a test of, and that's the real meaning of Sinai. It's not merely the Kiyas. Could have said the Kiyas. Kiyas it means Sinai. Sinai means it has the Shleimus of Har Sinai. The Shleimus of Har Sinai is the Shleimus of Kol HaTorah, of Kol HaTorah Kula, as it's brought, as it's all synthesized with each other, and has that Shleimus that we associate with Maimed Har Sinai. Chazal very often have an expression that Hayadvar Mesmechen Kinesinosa Mesinai. And it has this implication, though, was that it was so clear that it had the simcha of Mesinosa, Mesinosa, Mesinai. I know the Rosh Yeshiva is fond of quoting the story about Rav Nezer, that before he accepted his first Rabbonus, he told the Balaratim that he needs a year to learn Kodshim, because Kodshim he doesn't feel that he learned properly. So the Balabatim said to him, Rebbe, we won't ask you any shaylos in kutshim. So he said, no, in order to pass in the shaylos, you have to know everything. You have to know kutshim also, because everything is interconnected. But to be able to realize all that interconnectedness, and that's really the meaning of Sinai. That, in fact, is, I think, one of the striking things about the godliness of the Rosh Hashiva, not just the astounding Bikias, the fact that it's Mishnosoi Sidura, that with he knows that it's organized, and everything is brought to bear on every single point, wherever you talk to him, everything qualitative is brought to bear on the child that's being asked with Havanda and with Lumbus. And therefore, all of the shirim that he gives, they have that simcha of kinsinosu and misinai, and everyone who attends the shir that Rav Shechter gives has that feeling that the dvarim asmechim kinsinosu and misinai has that feeling of being, of having an experience, not merely hearing a particular shir, but having the experience of experiencing something which is a kind of maimed har sinai. And therefore, Rav Shechter shirim, now it's shirim to Baruch Hashem to continue many for doyos, for several doyos already, children of talmidim and more. It's really kiyum of vaydata levanecha v'levnei vanecha yoyim asher amadta levnei Hashem alekecha v'chayim. So we are makitay. Not one of the mishtashim of the shiur, but of course I hear Rav Shechter not only personally, but of course I'm also from the mishtashim. Now everything is online, and I'm also from the Nenim in that way. And I want to express our hakaras l'tayv for everything that he does for Kal Yisrael. And he should continue. Again, from the Seder, he should continue to be maimed talmidim and talmid talmidim. And continue to be mekuyim in him this the and the simcha that we all feel of having that experience of kinesin also missing that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There are a number of people who have been here since day one. Avraham Kalkowitz, one of those old timers, like the rest of some of us. So, we would like Avraham to say a few words about the Shir, about the Rav, about the Chaburah. Avraham.
The Maharasha, Chus, Rav Shechter, all the Haverim. There must have been some unique girl that chose me to represent the Oilam, who are all Yechidei Sgula. To follow up on some of the comments that were made earlier, there's a Mishnah in Yuma that talks about the Kohen Gadol after completing the Avodas Yom Kippur. He would change and go home and make a party, a suda for his family and his chaverim. So some of the Mekorshim mentioned that everyone who was in Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael must have been in Yerushalayim. This is, after all, Matan Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh, and it's also the Avoyto that is Mechaper for all of Klal Yisrael. So everyone tried giving a Yashikoyev to the Kohen Gadol as he makes his way home. And I think it's Rabbi Yaakov Enden who says that sometimes he only got home by Chatzos. I think we'll adjourn before Hatzos, but the truth is, Rav Shechter and the Anhola and the Young Israel actually deserve a Yashikayach that lasts until Hatzos. They've done an enormous accomplishment to have Rav Shechter here in Flatbush. It's a schus, even for the young Israel. I'm sure it's mikadesh hamakom, and it's a schus for the entire community. By the Chatzotzers, many of the portion have an interesting comment that you have a Machane Kodesh, you have a Godel Hador, Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of that, there's a Tzad Malchus, and in Tzad Malchus, you need Chatzotzers. Maybe that's why we have music here. But the truth is, we have to recognize the Tzad HaMalchus. That coming to the Shir week after week, year after year, and in some cases, we're talking decades. I happen to personally remember the first time that a shepherd 51 years ago was started giving Shir in the yeshiva. And truthfully, the amount of Torah that he's given over to Klal Yisrael, both in Lumpus and in Pesach Halacha, is a contribution that is very difficult to give an appropriate thanks for. There is a, in a sense, we're a privileged chabura. I don't think we often take a reckoning of how fortunate we are to be part of this chabura. I think not only has it transformed us over the period of time that we've been in the shiur, but it's actually elevated us. And we need to give a hakar satoy just for that. There is a minor chazal, the beginning of the Masechta, talks about Leman Yehu Darasech. So the Tor, in his introduction to Hilchos Sukkah, at the beginning of the Masechta, is Marek. It goes into history, goes into Kavonis, and the Bach on the Daven. I think Rabbi may have mentioned this. The Bach asks, what happened? Became a history safer. It's a halacha safer. What are we doing here? So he says a cloud, and he says because it says Leman Yehu, and wherever it says Leman Yehu, you got to clarify exactly what you need to know and what kabbonis you have to have. And there are a few cases like that, and the Bach brings that. At the start of the Masechta, the first line, first mishnah, you would think there would be some run-of-the-mill case in Hilchos Sukkah that would be introduced. Instead, we have a far-fetched case about a sukkah that's gavoya l'mayla l'chopam. You can't even imagine a sukkah like that. And how do you build a sukkah like that? It's not a double portion. Unless you go out to Asia, where Ba'enai Ra'isi, that they actually build out of bamboo 10-story tall structures without a nail, just out of bamboo itself. So it could be done. However, the Mepharshim say, you don't recognize the schach. The ikur is the schach. You're overwhelmed by the daf noise. And how do I know? Because it says Leman Yehu. I have to know Dara Sechem or Dila Sechem. I need to know what I'm sitting in. I think tonight is a Leman Yehu moment. We have to understand and appreciate what we have received over the prayer. It's a door. It's 25 years since the beginning of this year. It's an amazing accomplishment. Halvai, we absorbed all this Europe, and Baruch Hashem today, I have still at least 3 shelves worth of tapes. Today they're digitally available, and it's an unbelievable, I think technology was created just for this. It's a tremendous gift for all of us. years ago, I think that probably everyone knows about it. There is a Sefer Nisyon, a collection of Talmidei Chachamim. And the marshal goes that all of them are compared to, I heard it in Eretz Yisrael, so they mentioned Chatulim. And this one may be faster than the other, and this one may be larger than the other, but at the end of the day, they're all a chevra and they're all cats. Then all of a sudden, the Arish of the Chabura comes in. And the purpose of the story was to explain, what does it really mean, Arish of the Chabura? When the lion walks in, what is the perspective of the cats? No matter how mitzionim they may be, but at the end of the day, you're talking about the Ari Shem Habur. It is a tremendous chus that we have in Zarcha, with all of the talents, and I know many of the chevra here, and there are Talmidei Chachamim amongst this distinguished group. But we are zoyche to have Avi Sheva Chaburo come to us every single week and become accessible to us. This is someone who has mamish the shilas of Klal Yisrael on his places, and he comes to give us a shekel of his Torah, and truthfully, the Torah of the Rav. And the Torah of the entire Masorah, anyone who listens to the Shiurim over time, recognizes that there is not an element or an Mitzoyah of Torah Shebaal Peh that has not been introduced to us. Introduced to us in a historic background, introduced to us in the details and the Kiddushim. Dairi Dairis, above, and even in the last 100 years. And for that, we have to give tremendous yashar koyach, and that we should be able to be mamshich, and maybe all together, to be metabol today, Mashiach Tzidkenu, v'Heri Yameinu.
The Ramo records a minyan in Shulchan Aruch that when you finish Kriyas HaTorah in Sefer Vayikra, they say Chazak, Chazak, and this Chazak. So the Bir Rabbah writes that the mockup for this expression is the Gemara in the end of Brachos. That first the Gemara starts off, Shloshes Dvarim Tzrich Mechizuk. There are three things that need Chizuk. One is Torah, and one is Tzila, and one is Parnasa. What does it mean Chizuk? So Rashi says, even if you finish davening, you should start davening all over again. You should daven many times for repenting. You shouldn't feel like davening already and not going to daven again. And the same thing, Torah, even if you finished a mesivta, even if you finished learning something, you should start chazun, chazun alach, you should chazur for the minigins. You start the next page, you start the next thing that you're going for. That's what it means, chizuk. Even though you finish doing it once, you do it again the second time, the third time. That's the minig that at the end of the davening on Shabbos morning we say Adon Olam. So Shabbos begins with Adon Olam. By the Ekkes, the first thing the Chazan says is out loud, Adon Olam. So we finish Musaf and then the Chazan says Adon Olam. We prepare to start all over again. Or many have the minig that Leil Shabbos, Leil Yachal, we say Adon Olam. We have to marry. To demonstrate we just finished davening, we prepare to start davening Shabbos all over again, to start with Adon Olam. So learning, that's the minig that when you finish one parak, you start right away the next parak. I understand that there was a democratic vote. I hope it's a democratic vote. I hope we're going to learn next year. Everyone was given free choices. And the majority voted to learn the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. We'll try to discuss all the Gemaras in the order that they'll be quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. I'd just like to start a little bit tonight. The very beginning of Eben Ezra has the Mitzvah Peririvya. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam's opinion that there are two distinct mitzvahs. In the minyan mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs, the Rambam says there's one mitzvah to get married, and there's another not to be alone, not to be lonely. Lo tov hayos adam levado. Everyone should be married. And there's another mitzvah to have children, to have peirurim. The mitzvah to get married is to lead up to having peirurim, but the Rambam counts them as two distinct mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam's opinion is, that the Birchas Eirusin is really a Birchas HaMitzvah, And the bracha should really be recited by the chassan. And we have the practice, the rabbi says the chassan, the rabbi says the bracha, I'm half of the chassan. Really, the chassan should be saying the bracha. In Europe, there's a sefer, I think, Ayam, by one of the great rabbanim from early 1900s. So he quotes Rav Simcha Zelig, who was a Dayan of Brisk. So Rav Simcha Zelig mentioned that we really don't follow this Rambam. We hold that the Bichas Erisin is not really a Bichas on Mitzvah, because there used to be Masada Kedushin for couples who were complete communists. Of course, they didn't believe Hashem Elokeinu Kedushanu Mitzvotu Mitzivanu Garnish Min Garnish. So how did the rabbi say the bracha on behalf of the chosen? The chosen doesn't believe in anything. So the answer is, we don't really hold like the rabbi. We follow Tosfos' opinion. So just like the Sheva brachas, Yotzer Adam, Yotzer Son of Tzalmo, these are not bichas on mitzvahs, even at bichas erison, even though it starts on Sheikh Rishon of the mitzvahs of Mitzivanu al Haroya, so we follow Tosfos that it's not really a bichas on mitzvahs, it's a bichas shevach v'hoidoy. That's why the rabbi Tam even says that you say the bracha lachem asiyos. First you give the ring, you say Harei Amukudeshes Li, and then you say the bracha Birchas Erisin. If it would have been a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Rambam would be right. They have to say the bracha always Oigel HaSiyosan immediately before you're about to tighten the tefillin, before you're about to put on the talus. You say the Birchas HaMitzvah. So why do the Rabbeinu Tam hold you say the bracha dafke after you already did the Kiddushin Lachem HaSiyosan? Because the other is a Birchas HaShevach. When you see a beautiful mountain, or you see a lake, or you see lightning, or you hear thunder, you don't say the bracha as it's about the thunder, as you're about to see it. Say the bracha after you've already experienced it. All the bichas shevach v'hoidoya are always inside lachem asiyos. So we really follow the Tosfos' opinion that it's questionable whether the getting married is really a mitzvah. When you buy a lulav, the first 2 days of sukkah is in each halachem. So when you buy the lulav, you don't say bracha shekudishan tosan to buy a lulav. Buying the lulav is what we call a heksha mitzvah that enables you to fulfill a mitzvah on the first 2 days in each halachah. So getting married enables you to fulfill a mitzvah, fear of Arivia. But according to the Tosfos, it's not really that getting married is a mitzvah, it's a heksha mitzvah. And the bichas erisin is not really a bichas on mitzvah at all, it's a bichas shevach v'hoidoyim. But that's how the Shulchan Aruch starts off. Starts off like the Rambam. Mechaba often follows the Rambam that the two mitzvahs, the mitzvah to get married and the mitzvah to have Pirib Rivya. And the Gemara tells us we'll have to discuss it when we start the Rosh Hashanah time, when we start Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. The Gemara says the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah of Pirib Rivya existed Kodem Matan Torah. It was given to Adam Arishon and it was given to Noach after the Mabul. So they were not Jewish. So the mitzvah of Pirib Rivya originally was in order to be fruitful and multiply and populate the world. And after Matan Torah, the Gemara says the nature of the mitzvah changed. It's only obligatory on Bnei Yisrael. The Umas Olam are no longer obligated, and the Magen Mishnah understands in the Pshat and the Rambam, I'll have to learn it, Ebenezer, that the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. That after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is no longer to populate the world, the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So even though the Gemara says that a Gershon is Gayer, a Nochri who converted and he had children before he converted, so there's a Machloikas and Shulchan Aruch, they quote Lipas from that, you are Yotze Pirib Rivya with the children that you had in Nochri Yuso. So the Magen Mishnah understands in the Rambam, that's only if the children are Megayer. If the children are Nochrim, so what you have to say that it's Yotze the Mitzvah with non-Jewish children? Kodem Matan Torah, that was the mitzvah, just to populate the world, and the mitzvah applied even to the Umas Olam. But Lachem Matan Torah, not only that the mitzvah changed, that it's only Abnei Yisrael, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next, see to it that there's another generation, and transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So Kalam Alamed is Ben Chazera Torah Malala Kosev Kili Yeladai, the poskim they have on the first seif in Shulchan Aruch. If a couple can't have children, so they should adopt it, they should support. They should support Kama Hashem Nasarisim. Those who can't have their own children, Machazikim Bibrisim, let them support yeshivas. Let them transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation by supporting yeshivas. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch begins. Okay, so that's the Haskalah. I want to say I appreciate very much this. I don't consider it a Shia, I consider it a Chavrusa. Because this young man over here always helped out for many years, and over there, and everybody, and the senior member of the Shia helped out. Everybody helps out, so it's like a big charusa. Everybody's working out the Gemara together, so I appreciate it very much. I was trying to recollect what were we learning for 24 years. So I remember we started off with 2 years of Kiddushin, I think. And I think we learned Shabbos for 2 years or 3 years, I'm not sure. Then we learned Sanhedrin for 5 years, 6 years, I'm not sure. Then we learned Brachas, 5 years, 6 years, Challah. And we learned Avodah Zarah for a while. But we're still missing a lot. Then we learned Sukkah for 3.5 years. So how did that fill in? And Chagiga. Okay, one paragraph in Chagiga.
Twice
we learned Shabbos. I don't know where all the years went by, but I appreciate it very much. I learned a lot. And we tried to go at a reasonable pace. Every year we covered, I think, at least 10 blot. No? At least 10 blot. Sometimes much more than 10 blot. It's important when you learn Gemara, and the yeshivas that make fun of this, but the Gemara considers the highest level of learning is when you learn Lasukish Shmaitza Libid Hilchas. You learn up the Gemara and then you come to the Maskana. What's the din? Halacha L'maaseh, what's the din? So some people, when they learn Gemara, they're just looking for what's the din. They don't try to spend time to analyze anything. So we tried, we learned. The Gemara says, Zeh L'v'yeleh D'v'yeleh Kimchai. We have to spend time to learn to understand Beis Shammai Shittas also. Even though we know in advance, we're not going to pass like Beis Shammai. Even though we know in advance which Tana's opinion is accepted, which Amayra, and Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, we know which opinion is accepted. We spent a lot of time discussing the opinions that are not accepted. Let's talk about Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga. We skipped it because it was an Agadah. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk by introducing Maimon HaSina, by Dabar Lekim is Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele Leimar. The Gemara says, Kol HaDvarim implies Eile V'Eile Devei L'Kimchan, Devei HaMatim, Devei HaOysrim, Devei HaPoyskun, Devei HaMachshirim. So we spent a lot of time discussing all the Shittas, but he also spent time La'asukat Shmaitza, Libe DeHilchasa. Some people, when they give a shir in Gemara, it just turns into Shulchan Aruch. They just tell you, we pass like this, we pass like this. And some people, when they give a shiur in Shulchan Aruch, they make a pilpul out of everything. So we tried to have a blend. We tried to learn to analyze all the different opinions. And we tried a little bit. It's yodua that those who come to shul on time, so they say the brayser Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shlosha Semiras Hatorah Nedreshes Behem. They have listed off all the midos Hatorah Nedreshes Behem. So they say the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that he thinks that there's a 14th midah that wasn't mentioned in the braisa, the midah of svara. You have to say a svara. Yeah, that's it's important to be able to say a svara. But they also say in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he told his children that before they want to say a svara in learning, they have to cover all of Shastat Rashi, because every discipline has its own self-contained style of logic. And common sense doesn't always win the day. You don't always pass by like common sense. They say the name of one of the Gedolim from Europe, Abruva Ledeneburger. When you want to say a Svara in learning, the Svara has to be either Mefurish in the Gemara or Kemat Mefurish in the Gemara. That's what Rav Soloveitchik would say. Whenever he wants to say a Svara to be Miyashit something, or to be Mazda something, so he would always quote a Gemara or a Rishon who says like that the Ferish, that there is such a Chilik. He can always say a Chilik, but it has to be a Chilik that's Mechalik. You have to have a Mokar in the Gemara, a Mokar in Rishon and Boposkin, that the chilek is significant. So Asulayshi would always, when he would say a svara, would always quote a Gemara to show that this svara is significant. That's what we try to do. And you have to cover a lot of ground. Usually we end off the weekly shiur with a batar on the parsha. So I'll end off in this connection. The beginning of Parsha's Koyrach, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, a famous Medrash, that Koyrach wanted to do away with the trelis in the tzitzis, and he wanted to do away with the mezuzah. So he said, "Bayis at moli svarim. What do you need? Noch mezuzah. You have so many svarim in the bayis. What do you need a mezuzah for? If you have a talis shekula trelis, so what do you need another string of trelis for? You should be given up with love." So that's a common sense logic. That's a svarim, and we don't pass them like that. How come we don't pass them like that? So there are different explanations why. Well, what's wrong with this logic? So I saw recently. Someone just published a new sefer on Bamidbar. So he gave me a copy of the sefer, very nice. So he has something along these lines. We must have mentioned this idea. that when we say Havdalah Matzoi Shabbos, Sehem Abdu Bekodesh L'chol Ben Ola Chorishach Min Yisrael O'amin Ben Shvila Sheishu Tumehma. So Sehem Abdu Bekodesh L'chol, that's a Havdalah She'en any cares. Not everybody can tell. You can tell when you look at the Har HaBayis where there's Kitchel Asilava, like Kitchel Asilava. The Rambam holds that it's Kitchel Asilava. The Rabbi holds there's no Kedusha. So which of us can look at the Har HaBayis and say at the Azara, can we tell whether it has Kedusha? It's Kedusha Shein and he cares. He can't tell by looking at it. Hamabda bin Orla Choshef, that's a Havdalah and he cares. The animals, there's an Asechah bin Al-Havchanyem, the animals can know the difference between day and night. The flowers know the difference. In the daytime they give off oxygen, in the nighttime they give off carbon dioxide, I think. So all of the Bria, that's a Havdalah and he cares. The Havdalah bin Orla Choshef. What about the Havdalah bin Yisrael Ami? Is that supposed to be a Havdalah Hanikaris? Or is that the Havdalah, it's like Kedusha, it could be a Havdalah Shein Hanikaris. So Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that he used to travel by plane every week from Boston to New York and go back. So he said that 4 weeks in a row, he was on the plane next to the same person, and he didn't know till the fourth week that the person was Jewish, and he learned Daf Yomi every day. He thought it was an Achri. He said the first 3 weeks he was sitting next to the person, they were talking about politics and about sports and everything under the sun. Except, and then the fourth week, he found out the man is not only Jewish, a Ben Torah, and he learned Daf Yomi every day. He said a Jew would always be Nikker. A Jew had Teyas, he had a beard, he had tzitzis, he had a different Malbush, he had cried out eyes. A Jew looked like a Jew. You could tell there was a difference in a Jew and an Achri. So the Rav Soloveitchik said over from different Gedolim in Europe, that there's a medrash that comments, why is it that the Luchas Rishonis were broken and the Luchas Shniyah survived? The medrash said because the Luchas Rishonis were given with such fanfare, with such piercing, so Sholta Behem Ein Hora, and Ein Hora was Shalat, and that side they were broken. The Luchas Shniyah, Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur with the Luchas Shniyah, Shashtil, and it was quiet, no colors were broken, so there was no Ein Hora. So and then the Medrash ends off, since the Luchas Shniyos were given Bitzina without Pirsum, and that's why Lo Shaltech Ha'Mayin Hara, Holamadato, the moral of the story, Shein Lecha Yofim and Atzniyos. The best thing is to be a Tzanua, not to do things in Faresi, rather to do everything Bitzina. So the question begs itself, so why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam give the Luchas Rishonis with a big fanfare? He didn't realize going to be Shaltech Ha'Mayin Hara. So Rabbi, the name of different Gedolim, they say Rabbi Meir Shapira said this, they attribute it to other Rabbanim. They said because the Havdalah between Yisrael and Umas Olam has to be a Havdalah Hanikaris, has to be noticeable. Had to be the whole world should know that there's a Maimon HaSinai that Bnei Yisrael are being established as the Amanitcha, and everything has to be different. So that's what some say. Korach had a good tetaina, he had a kal v'chaimer. What do you need a mezuzah? What do you need chelus for? The answer is, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants the Jewish people should have Havdalah Hanikaris. Other people also have strings hanging up, but they don't have blue strings. The blue is like a malchus, it's a royal blue. It's very expensive. And other people have homes, but they don't have a mezuzah on the outside of the home. You see a mezuzah on the outside right away, there's a Havdalah Hanikaris. You know that this office or this home belongs to a Jewish person. That's why they're mezuzah. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants it should be a Havdalah Hanikaris. It shouldn't just be like Ben Kodesh L'chom. So I want to express my gratitude. I appreciate very much this big chavrusa that we have. I learned a lot preparing this year, and it's not really a year. It's like learning b'chabura. I consider it like a chabura. I thank you very much. And b'ritzot Hashem, we should continue for many years to come to continue to learn together.
Before we begin, as the Rav said, we're going to be learning Shulchan Aruch and Ezra starting next year.